I'd like to share with you from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to verse 25. The topic is, let us hold fast. So how to hold fast? Hebrews 10, verse 23 to verse 25. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Amen. Hold fast. Why did God ask us to hold fast? That means to keep a firm possession. It is a picture of someone who has been entrusted with something in his hands, and he is now commanded by God not to let go. The book of Hebrews is a wonderful book whereby the emphasis is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was contrasted in chapters 1 and 2 against angelic beings. When Jesus Christ became man, does it mean that now he has become lower than angels? And that's true, because man, according to some, was made lower than angels. So what about Christ? The Bible tells us that no matter what, Jesus Christ will always be the Son. Angels are always servants. And then chapters 3 and 4, Jesus Christ is contrasted against Moses. To the Jews, Moses was the greatest servant Israel ever had. And they are probably correct. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, compared to Moses, who was the greatest servant, Moses served in the house of God. Jesus Christ served as the Son, who is also the owner of the house of God. Chapters 5 and 6, the Lord Jesus Christ is contrasted in terms of his ministry as priest. Because from chapters 5 onwards, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, the ministry of Christ will be very drastically contrasted. 5 and 6 would be with reference to the priesthood. The priesthood of Aaron versus the priesthood of Christ. And then the priest himself will be contrasted against Christ as the great high priest. Chapters 7, 8, and 9. Now all these to tell us that Jesus Christ must be a man and he must be our great high priest. Because the conclusion is, you and I are now given the honor and the privilege to enter into the presence of God boldly while we serve God on this earth. Chapter 11 talks about faith, 12, 13, 14 to the end talks about the practical application of what it means to be a Christian. There will be struggles, there will be challenges, there will be discipline. When we stray away from the Lord loves us, he will discipline us, as Hebrews chapter 12 will emphasize. In Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about, so what that Jesus Christ came to die for me? So what does it mean that Jesus Christ is my great high priest? The entrance into the presence of God is that what you must hold fast to. This is the emphasis. Jesus Christ has been presented to us as the great high priest. We have a new and living way, verse 20 of Hebrews 11. What are you going to do now? You and I, as New Testament believers, have this new way whereby you don't have to bring a long line of animals to sacrifice. This is the new and living way, a way that is eternal, a way that is alive, whereby it will sustain you and help you to be the best Christian you could ever be. And you don't have to do it alone. You are not supposed to, and that's why the word used is let us, plural. See, sometimes we think that the Christian faith is a very individual and personal one. It is true in the sense that God has no grandchildren. You are not a Christian because your parents are one. God has only children. Salvation is personal and individual. You are right. But the witness for God on this earth was never meant to be individualistic. God knows that as an individual, we cannot succeed. God never wants us to serve him and witness for him as an individual. He gave us gifts for the blessing of withal. Withal means others. Gifts are not for me to study God's word every morning. I look at myself in the mirror and teach myself. All gifts are for the building up of the faith of the brethren. That's why in this passage, the emphasis is you must learn to help one another hold fast the profession of your faith together. You have professed with your lips, I have professed with my lips, the same Savior, the same Lord, the same God. And God said, please do not go on your own. Do whatever it takes to hold fast your profession. I need your help. You need my help. It is a journey that God says you don't have to walk alone unless you are forced to, like the Apostle Paul. He had no choice but to walk it alone when he was languishing in prison in Rome. The kind of spiritual weight and burden that fell upon him when news came to him one after another, and they didn't have internet. People will come to him in prison in Rome and say, do you know, spiritual father, there is this church that you have founded in Ephesus, it's facing all these problems. Another one in Thessalonica, another one in Philippi, another one here, another one there. And then not only that, the pastors that you have placed in Ephesus, like Timothy, Titus in Sancria, they are facing a lot of problems. There are some senior elders that are giving them headaches. They do not respect them, they do not honor them because they are young. He was in prison. He could not go there to help them, to hold their hand and to straighten out all the problems. He penned all these epistles. It's a reflection of what was in his heart. He wanted to help, but he could not, and so he had to write all these epistles, praying and hoping that these people, upon reading the epistles, they would learn and obey and change. Never, never intended for any believer to be alone. That's the purpose of the church. That was the reason why the church was founded. Holding fast the profession you have professed, I have professed. Let us hold fast together to the very end of our time on this earth. How to do that? First, without wavering. Now remember, we know that God is faithful, that promise. We know that God will do his part. But this is an emphasis on human responsibility. Without wavering literally means do not allow anyone to cause you to go backwards, to slide, to recline. Don't let anyone cause you to go backwards in your service, in your promise, in your holy living, in everything that you stand for as a Christian, without wavering. Now, wavering is something that you and I struggle against. When the Lord says, walk the straight and narrow path, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, that's exactly what it means. Walk the straight and narrow path, don't let anyone cause you to steer away from this path. Back in Pandan, it is very sad and tragic to see of young men who were very fervent during YF time. Now that they are married, young children, literally I see them wavering. I saw one family whose children are of the same age as my children. They grew up together. I still look at their young photos, seated right in front of our kindergarten, one whole row, my three children, and the two of them, and another, I think two more children, altogether about 3 plus 4, 7. Very cute, kindergarten age. Today, one of them just married a Muslim. And he put it on Facebook. Thank God I did not see the parents. Thank God the parents did not attend. From the pictures and the photos of the Facebook, I see only the family members of the bride, all Muslim. And he was dressed in a Muslim garb, wearing the hat, and it was a Muslim wedding. Used to attend our Sunday school. We even went to the Blue Mountains together on holiday as a family. Because of the same age group, we know the parents, we know them well. The other son, stricken with cancer, near the spine, so they operated. Now he's learning to walk all over again. And because of his time in hospital, I don't know whether as a patient or when he was working there, he afflicted some kind of a disease or a virus that affected his eyes. And because his immunity was low, this virus started to attack his eyesight. And so his eyesight is affected. He has lost his ability to walk. He's learning how to walk all over again. And he has to have helped, who do simple things that he used to take for granted, like going to the bathroom. He used to attend our church, and he used to come to our church, but wayward, and now he says, is that really a God? He doesn't care for the Christian faith. And so we try to reach out to him, and he's very selective as to who can visit him, whom he doesn't want to visit. The parents are heartbroken. Young people, your age, by the way, in the mid-20s. Once upon a time, we thought they were following the Lord. We thought in Sunday school, when we looked at them, they would not waver. The parents are in church, grew up in the church, memorized God's word, studied God's word, but they wavered. They wavered in such a bad way that they turned their backs on Christ completely, both of them. And there are others as well that I could list. One of them now we are trying to help and counsel. He is much older, probably in his early 30s or mid 30s, working. Two young children. He was counseled, and then the shocker was, the deacon told me that in the course of talking to this person said, I'm not sure whether I believe in the perfect Bible, we should use the KJV. I'm not even sure whether we should be against the ecumenical movement. Without wavering, it's a real tragedy when you see people who waver and there is so little you could do but to just stand there from a distance and see their lives little by little recline further and further into the distance. And in some cases, like what I've shared with you, you wonder whether they have really been believers in the first place, not these two young men who openly turned their backs on Christ. We need to hold each other's hand. I can't hold fast the profession of my faith on my own. I know that Christ will not let me go. I know that. But we are not talking about God's part. This is not an instruction telling us that God will fail us. The writer did put in parentheses, for he is faithful that promise. God will keep his promise. Now the question is, what about us? Human responsibility is a real responsibility that you cannot afford to take lightly. The importance of mutually encouraging one another is one of the heartbeat of a successful witness on this earth. That's why God tells us, please, let us hold fast the profession of faith together, without wavering. I don't want to waver. I know that in life so many things can cause me to waver, especially for you young people. The attractions of the world are real. The force there that will pull you away from Christ is real. The church is one of the greatest avenues where you can cling on to that will steer you still in the right direction, because when you are of the same age group, you realize that you are struggling with the same struggle that your fellow brother or sister in Christ are also suffering, and that gives you the additional strength to not to let go of Christ, to hold on and not to allow the holy witness in Christ to be taken away from you without wavering. Let us hold fast what we have professed concerning Christ. That's what it means, the profession of our faith. You call yourself a Christian, so did I. God brought us together, God brought you and me together. Help me. Help me to hold fast my life of holiness, which I do not want to give up. I really do not want to. But I can't do it alone without your help. Well, what kind of help can you render? Verse 24, please, never stop remembering me. And that's why let us consider one another. Please don't ever forget each other. This word consider literally means the exercise of the mind. That means you have to think of that person. Now what is the best way to think of that person? Prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is the best way to remember your brothers and sisters in Christ. For me, I carry this Pandan prayer list. Although I'm far away from them, I don't want to forget them. And so in our list, it's similar to yours, but it's Pandan people. Yours will have your own people. We have one section on sickness. Under sick, I tell the office staff to please, whenever somebody calls up to want to put in the prayer list to pray for someone who is sick, please split them up into believers and unbelievers, because we'll pray differently. And so this is what she will do. Please, when you record, believers, unbelievers, I try my best to pray for them in the morning and the evening before I sleep, to remember them before God's throne of grace and mercy, because some of these illnesses are chronic. And I can imagine what's it like if I were the parent to be in their shoes, to have a son or a daughter who is giving them something like schizophrenic problem. Mental problem is one of the most difficult problems to resolve. And then, of course, we have our deacon, the family, whose son, Vance, who's in a wheelchair because of a burst brain vessel when he was primary four. And then he suffers from seizure, and the parents are very concerned that he will not suffer from seizure, and so he has to take medicine on a monthly basis. And that will be his focus. I can't imagine what kind of challenges they have to face daily on a day-to-day basis. So pray for them. We have on the list here a father whose son, his name is Ezekiel, pray for continuous progress because he has since birth lost his ability to hear. He can't hear. And so they have to put in a cochlear implant into his brain, into his ear. I don't know how it works, of course. The wife is was a medical doctor. She gave up her job to stay home and to look after the child. And there will be an implant surgery on this left ear in August, and they'll keep on tweaking it because the child could not speak. How do you tell them, okay, this is loud enough, this is not loud enough, I can hear this, I can't hear that sound. The child can't speak, and so they'll tweak it until he scream and yell, or then maybe too loud. So parents have to go through all these struggles. I don't want them to go through alone, because if I struggle with my faith and not to waver, and our problems are normal problems, we have full use of our hands, our legs, our mind, our ears, but for them, they have to struggle in the faith with these additional challenges. Don't ever stop considering, remembering one another, because that's what consider means, to exercise the mind, literally to exercise the mind. The mind is there. The problem is we exercise the mind in so many other things except one another. Right? We exercise the mind whenever we watch a game, whenever we watch or when we play computer. We exercise the mind all the time, our eyes, we see, we interpret, we exercise the mind the moment you open your eyes. And God says, will you not forget one another? Will you help one another not to waver by the exercise of your mind? Remember one another. And that's why prayer meeting is so important. It's like prayer meeting, people don't come, means what? The implication? I don't bother about your struggles, I don't bother about your problems. I just let you stumble and fall by the wayside. God says, please don't do that. That's why let us hold fast. Let us, please note the plural. It's not let me, it's let us. You help me, I help you. I don't want to forget you. Please don't forget me. Exercise the mind to remember me. To remember what about me? To provoke me unto love and to good works. Now the word provoke, you may not like the word. The word provoke literally means to get a stick, a pointer stick, to poke at the person. That means the person is what, sleeping? Yes. You mean the person is not doing anything? Yes, the person is not doing anything. That means I can waver so far to the point whereby I'm not doing anything, that means to the point where I might be backsliding. So if I've not been coming to church, I need you to poke me. Don't let go of me. I may not be coming, and I may not like you the first meeting, I may not like you the second, I may not even like you after the 10th meeting, where you keep on poking me, ask me to come back to church. I may not like even after the 10th meeting, but please don't give up on me, poke me the 11th time. That's what it means. Poke me the 11th time, it's still 11th time, doesn't work, poke me the 20th time. Can you please keep on poking me until I come back? That's what it means. That's what it means by provoking unto love and to good works. Agape love, that means bring me back. Now you know who has not been coming to church. A smaller church is easier for you to realize these kind of verses, challenges. You know who are the people who used to come who have stopped. Don't give up on them, even though they may ask you to. Don't ever stop. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. I saw the name Min. I mentioned to you, you guys at the camp. When I think of him, I remember him pretty well. I remember his time with us in the camp. I remember the things he did at the camp. And then when I was told by Elder Cole that he wanted to turn his back on Christ, I was sad and shocked at the same time. I thought that he was doing pretty well, and I think he was a deacon or something. That to me is very sad. And then now you put his name there, that is very, very good. Because when I saw his name there last Friday evening, after a long, long while, what came to my mind was this thought. I remember what the Bible said about a person who has been delivered from demon possession. And then the Bible also said, concerning that individual, that person has been delivered from a demon. But if he is not saved, if he is not filled by the Spirit of God, indwelled by the Spirit of God, seven more demons will come. And then the conclusion was, how great would be the darkness? The darkness was great when there was one demon. And then if he is healed and he doesn't accept Christ, and then seven more will come in, how great will be that darkness? That means the darkness was worse than before. Now you just imagine what happened in the case of Min. He came to this church. He studied the scriptures. He supposedly have accepted Christ. He did everything Christian. And then at the end of, after tasting everything Christian, and he also took the Lord's Supper. He served. He did all these things. And he turned his back and said, I don't care for Christ. I don't believe in Christ. He has just repudiated and turned his back on the only one who can save him out of sin, death, and hell. We know this. He doesn't know this because for what he did, he was probably not born again even after he has gone through the entire process of screening through the BBK classes to help them realize and understand it had all been just a farce. And that's why it is very serious that you keep on poking. You remember him by all means. But perhaps we can do an extra step more if you're still in communication with him. Invite him to the anniversary, for example. Invite him if you are going to celebrate some special occasion, let's say like Christmas. In other words, don't give up on anyone. Keep on poking. They will not like it, but they do not know what they like and what they don't like. You who have professed your faith, you know. You know the danger that is in store for them. You know the pit that they will fall themselves into. And only Jesus Christ can get them out of it. Only Jesus Christ can prevent them from falling into it. And that's why always keep them in mind through prayer. To what end, to what purpose? To poke them, provoke them unto love and to good works. To remind them of the love of God. To remind them of the love of Christ. That's what it means. To provoke them unto love. To remind them of the love of God so that they must never, never forget how good God has been always to them. Whether believer or unbeliever alike, God has always been a good God. Let him know. And then hopefully with all grace and mercies from God, he might come back. Poke him. Prayer is one of the ways. But you keep poking him, and then the Bible says unto good works. That means people come to church perhaps not doing anything. Don't ever give up. Sometimes it can be very tiring, especially when you are the only one serving. But keep on. So sometimes we have this appreciation lunch for those who are serving. Appreciation lunch. To appreciate them. All come together, share from God's word, thanking every one of them that we are all serving together in Pandan. Don't give up. Don't talk about passing on the baton to the younger ones, etc. When you are in a wheelchair, when people ask you to come up and speak, you have to crawl up here because your legs are gone, your energy is gone. Okay, then maybe it's time for you to pass on. As long as you can still talk, as long as your mind is still, you serve the Lord with every ounce of energy. You may diminish, but never stop serving. That's why you have to poke me, so that I may keep on doing good works. There was one occasion when one church member, well-meaning member, very concerned for me, because he knows that I have many, many Bible studies. Then he planted this thought into my head, which was never in my head before. Very well-meaning. He didn't mean it. Then he said, don't you feel tired? I was not tired until he told me, don't you feel tired? You know. That's it. What you asked me that question, you see. I never thought about slowing down, never thought about tiredness until now you ask me. Now I start to think, you see? Now I'm tired already. You see? Oh, so sorry. I hope you will never ask me that thing again. Because now it's stuck in my head already, you see? Because this kind of tiredness, you see? Well, you serve here, serve there, serve there. I say, that's self-pity. Yeah, maybe I should cut down, slow down. Don't serve so much. Maybe I should. It's self-pity. Then I say, as long as the Lord gives me strength, okay? I remind myself, okay, as long as the Lord gives me strength, as long as He gives me strength, I will serve. The moment I cannot serve, whereby the capacity of service has diminished, I cannot become a blessing to others, I become a hindrance, that's when I back off. But we all know that as age catches up, we will slow down. We will have to slow down. I know He didn't mean any ill will. He really was thinking of me. But it's my problem. You see, the thing is, our minds are pretty weak. Our minds are easily influenced by others. And that's why it is so important for us to do what the Bible tells us to do. Help me hold fast my profession that I have confessed, that I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior without wavering. I tend to. I know you tend to too. To serve halfway and then get tired, don't want to serve anymore, indulge in self-pity. And so sometimes I need you to poke me here, poke me there a bit. The poking can come in reminding by encouragement, genuine, sincere encouragement. The poking can be just simply reminder, hey, where have you been? I wish to see you at prayer meeting. I wish to see you at this meeting or that meeting, the Bible study. Is everything okay? If the person feels that it is an intrusion, say, I'm sorry if I felt that I've intruded in your life, and the person, maybe his reaction is a little sensitive, defensive, apologize. And then after a while, forget about it, ask him again. Because he may have been going through a very difficult patch at that time. I mean, we all have our ups and downs, right? I mean, generally, I think most of the time, most of us are very fine and good. Normal, very well-mannered, very courteous in our reply. But there are times when we are down, there are times when we, you know, for men, we have this thing called andropause. You know andropause? You know andropause, huh? Women got menopause, right? For me, at my age, every time I'm not feeling well, andropause, my wife will say. I think it's andropause, you know, not andropause. We got andropause, right, men? Huh? Andropause, huh? I have no idea. But we all have our ups and downs, right? We all have ups and downs. So when I'm down, when I'm stressed, when I'm upset, or of whatever, something is not right with me spiritually, and you talk to me, I won't be the best person to talk to at that point in time. So I might bite your head off. And so you may back off it. Wow, don't talk to me. Don't give up on me. Right? Don't stop poking me toward love and good work. So maybe a week or two later, ask me again. Maybe this time around I'll be a little bit more even keel. Please don't give up on one another. That's what it means. Let us keep thinking of that person, even though sometimes the person may react in a manner that may poke you back a bit, bite your head off. Don't give up. Don't give up, okay? Please, always care for each other's spiritual well-being. We all need it, because we all can stumble and fall at the same time. You know who are most prone to stumble and fall? The older ones. And so younger ones, pray for the older ones, encourage the older ones. Remember why, right? You know why. When a person begins in ministry, he has just started, nobody knows him. His influence is minimal. But after 10 years, 20 years in ministry, many people know him. And when he stumbles and falls after 20 years of ministry, the bang that Satan will use and cause will be very loud, as opposed to a very soft thud. When he just started the ministry, you trip him, he falls, that's it. Nobody knows. He stumbles, nobody else except himself. But after 20 years of ministry, so many people know about him. And then Satan caused him to stumble and fall because he forgets. Because people forgot to remember him. People forgot to help him not to waver. And he stumbles. And then the sound, bang, very loud. Like the speaker at Mrs. Jamemiku's graduation at Grace Seminary. 14 years in adultery. Then, so famous, written many books, invited by seminaries all over America to be the keynote speaker at commencement for young graduates to be pastors. And then they publish it in a magazine, a Christian magazine, that so-and-so had been found and caught to have committed adultery for the past 14 years. Why didn't they catch him 14 days earlier? Why didn't they catch him the moment he stumbled? Not good enough. Satan was watching, waiting. The only way he could have solved it was to repent and stop it right there and then. He did not. He indulged in it for 14 long years. And then Satan exposed him. It will be found out. The sin will find you out. God warns us. Be sure your sin will find you out. And it will. And Satan waited and watched until 14 years. He was in it. And then exposed. And his fall was put in the magazine across the world. We were back in Singapore then. And we read the magazine and we saw his name. And I told Mrs. Jemima Ku, this was the guy who spoke at your graduation. There is this young man who was from Life Church, studied, became a theologian, became head of a theological department in a Bible college in Singapore, not FEBC, another one, and he was the head of the theology department. PhD in theology, and so they make him the head. One day, he asked the principal for permission to go on sabbatical for one term. He was turned down. He was upset. He was angry. He left. He resigned. He disappeared, actually. The reason why I used to disappear, because he literally actually disappeared. He was the associate pastor of one of our BP churches. And he literally disappeared. Nobody knew where he went to. Not his wife, not his children. He left everyone. He left his ministry in the Bible college. He left his ministry in the church. He left his wife and his family. And suddenly when they found him, he was in China. Apparently he had been going to China on mission trips before. And so those who found him and talked to him, "You have another woman?" He said, "No." But a few months back, when my wife went to Gill House in Cambridge after Sunset Gospel Hour, I recognized him. He was with another woman coming out of the restaurant as we were walking in. But he said, no, no other women. That's what he said. And then sadly, tragically, I was given a note taken from his Facebook by someone in our church that this same person, doctorate in theology, head of department of theology in a Bible college, associate pastor, and he's turned his back on Christ. When Christ was in trouble, the people who follow him were in trouble. I, as a pastor, helped them. But now that I'm in trouble, nobody cares for me. Not God cares for me. Christ doesn't care for me. This is going to be my last word. Turn off his entire Facebook. He's now working in Capital Land. We all need to be poked to keep on the straight and narrow path because we all have professed. And there are so many more examples of real life situations. Do they know God's word? Did the professor, head of department of theology, know God's word? Yes, we're not talking about head of department of mission work or theology. He's supposed to be teacher of God, supposed to know God's word. Did he know all these things? Yes. But Satan, as a roaring lion, was waiting and waiting and waiting at the right moment when the sound of his fall will make the loudest noise. He fell. You just imagine what will happen in his school. The kind of damage will reverberate through the whole Bible college. Head of theological department quit. Imagine what will happen to the church. Associate pastor quit. What do you think will happen to the children's faith? Will it devastate the children's faith that the father will just desert us? He's supposed to be a Christian. He's supposed to love us. He's supposed to love mommy. He's supposed to know the Bible, and then he just simply turned their backs on everything that he knew. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We all need to, because to keep on doing good works implies that we are on the right path with the Lord. Keep on serving, keep on serving. Those who just come and disappear, I'm very nervous for them. Because there is no commitment. Because commitment will be seen by service. We have no good works. You just come, worship, offering, disappear. Come, worship, offering, disappear. I'm very nervous for these people. Because I cannot imagine someone who is truly born again in Christ, saved and left behind on earth, healthy and strong, won't want to do anything to help other Christians. I cannot imagine such a believer ever doing that. Who is truly born again. To me, they are continuously walking on very thin ice. And any time the ice will just crack and fall through, and they will sink. And they will allow the world to waver them, and they're going to disappear. But once you are loving the Lord, and then you are serving the Lord, doing a lot of good works, you will become a target. But we know that you are vibrant and you are loving the Lord if this is from your heart. You keep coming, keep serving. But don't do so with murmuring and complaining. Okay? How to hold fast? Without wavering. How to hold fast? Remember one another. Please, remember me. We'll remember you. And then finally, verse 25, assemble together. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Assembling together is key. Whenever you can, assemble together. Please don't use distance and expediency and convenience as an excuse. We have people who stay in Pandan. When they are in Pandan, they come to Pandan. When they moved house to another part of Singapore, even though the BP church there is bad, they don't care because this is only a bus stop away or 5-minute walk away. And so convenience is a very, very seductive tool used by Satan because we are by and large lazy unless you are convicted and committed. Convicted and committed that this is the best place God wants me to serve. This is where God's meant to serve and I'm going to stay here for the rest of my life on this earth helping the people, God's people in this church to grow. Doing my part to provoke them unto love and good works. That's why I cannot forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Make it a very important priority of your life. Worship, non-negotiable. Prayer meeting, non-negotiable. You've got to tell your boss at your interview for the job. That's what I did when I was interviewed for my job. Prayer meeting, Sunday, non-negotiable. Let them know right from the very beginning. Don't let them know after you get the job. Let them know before you get the job so that when they offer you the job, both are open. You know, I told you before I accepted the job, prayer meeting, I cannot stay back and work overtime. Sunday, the Lord's Day, I cannot go back to office. If all the rest of the non-Christians, they want to do all these things, it's them. But they will be well-pleasing in the eyes of the boss. They were going to see how the boss will see how they are far more working than I am. Therefore, I will not get promoted. Therefore, I will not get my extra bonus. They will get all the bonus and all the promotion. See, that is the problem. We continue to think like unbelievers. God gave me the job, not my boss. And I'm there to be a holy witness. I'm not here for promotion or more money. I'm here to be a holy witness to all my colleagues, who my new colleagues, who do not know any Christian in the workplace. And so, I'm not here for money and promotion. So if they don't come, it's okay. But by coming to church, by letting them know that as Christians, there is more to life than just work, money. So let them know that church life is to honor the Lord because it is the Lord's day. I worked enough from Monday to Saturday. Let them know. Tuesday is a time when I pray for God's people. I won't want to stay behind for any project. Lord's people. Saturday. YF, YAF, whatever, let them know. I would like to be in God's house on Saturday. This is where I spend time with God's people. Let them be priorities. Plan your life around these activities. That's how you fulfill and obey verse 25. So that you will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Why did the Bible say as the manner of some is? The problem with manner is it becomes a pattern. First time you miss it, you feel very, very lousy and terrible. But after a while, you get used to it. That's why you must not allow this habit to form. Don't let this terrible, terrible habit of not assembling together as brothers and sisters in Christ become something that you get used to it. You must never get used to separation as brothers and sisters in Christ when you are in the same church. Don't ever let it happen. The taste should be very bitter and you do not want to taste this again. Now, who used to come and don't come anymore? For church, for fellowship. If they come for church, not fellowship, poke them. Don't give up on them. Pray for them by all means. Write to them. They say, don't write anymore. Okay, don't write anymore. 3 months later, write again. Say, don't give up. They do not know they need help. You don't give up, you never know. They say, don't write for a while. And then after a while, you say, dear friend, the Lord lays upon my heart to remember you once more. And I'd like to invite you to this meeting, to this birthday, to this celebration, whatever it is. Would you come? Don't give up. Because they have gotten used as a part of their manner of life to forsake assembling together. They got used to it. Don't let them. If they have ever professed their faith once before, don't let them. But keep on exhorting. That's the word exhorting. Exhorting, exhorting. That means beseeching, begging, begging, beseeching. One another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. They can't see the day approaching. You can. They can't see the day is coming. The day or the day of the Lord's return. The day of their death. So many days, the word day there is deliberately, I believe, deliberately left vague. What day? The day you meet the Lord. You see, we can meet the Lord when the Lord returns, or we can meet the Lord when we die. Right? Either way, we are going to meet the Lord. So the day approaching, what day? Second coming, sure, is included. Your own death day, sure, is included. The basic meaning is the day when you meet the Lord, whether you like it or not, if the Lord comes, you meet Him. If you die, you go to Him. Either way, you meet Him. He doesn't know that the day is approaching. We do. We do. That means have a deeper sense of urgency. Don't procrastinate. Whatever you have in your hand to do, you start doing. That's how you hold fast. Hold fast doesn't mean you grip and you don't do anything. Here you see how hold fast means. Hold fast means don't be moved. There'll be many forces that will pull you and trying to either push you down or to pull you down. Either push you or pull you down. Number two, consider one another. Help one another to hold fast. I need you, you need me to hold fast. Please help one another through prayer, through writing, through communication, and never get used to missing meeting to each other, missing activities. Church, prayer meeting, all these are designed for one purpose, to help you and me to hold fast. All our Bible studies, all our ministries, everything that we have in the church are basically to assist the believer. You have professed your faith, right? You have professed your faith. And so we have provided you with all these avenues in the church to hold fast. Hold fast what? Hold fast your witness. God will do His part. As He has promised, He will not fail you. But God says there is a human responsibility that you must hold fast. We need one another more than you and I could ever imagine. More so today than ever before. The world is getting worse. The world is getting so bad. If you need help financially, we will help you. I received 2 Q&A during the Mandarin camp. I speak in the morning in the English side. In the evening, I speak in the Mandarin side. Ling Kang spoke at the Mandarin morning and the English evening. So for me, in the evening, every night they have Q&A, very similar to what we have in our Sydney camp. And one of them would share, I don't like to come to church because I feel so exhausted, because I have to come to church on Sunday, and immediately after that I got to rush off and I got to work in this 7-Eleven. I got no choice. This is the only job I have, to look after my mom and all. I can't take it. Very, very stressed. How to answer this kind of question? So I said to this person, you don't have to struggle alone. You need financial help, we will help you. You don't have to take this job on Sunday. Find another job. In the meantime, while you're looking, the church can help you financially. The church can supply whatever you need in the meantime. Your spiritual life is very important. Another one shared, I'm all alone looking after my aged mother. I cannot afford it. And so to come to church and then to serve, and then I go to work and look after my aged mother, is too overwhelming. I can't take it. I said to that person, again, you don't have to go through it alone. We'll pray for you, but we can also help you financially. How much money do you need to hire a maid? We have a benevolent committee who will be more than happy to help you. Please go and see them during the camp or after the camp. They are here at the camp. We will help you. We are one family, brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll pray with you and pray for you, and we can help you in many practical ways so that you don't have to go through alone. Everywhere is the same. This Bible is given to every believer throughout the world, throughout every age. And so God knows about your need. Have you professed Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior? Then let us all hold fast together our same profession. You have, I also have. I want to bear a holy witness for Christ. You also want to bear a holy witness for Christ. But how to do that? Number one, please help me not to waver. Help me. Anything can cause me to waver. Something happened to my family can cause me to waver. Something can happen to my health can cause me to waver. Anything can cause me to waver. Something happened in the church can cause me to waver. If there is a big blow up in the church, I do not know. Anything. That's why it is so important. Help me not to waver. How? By keeping me in your memory. Consider, keep in mind. Think and pray for me. Just as I will try my best to think and pray for all of you in Sydney BP Church. So that you will never stop poking me, encouraging me to do good works and to love the Lord more and more. Either by a letter of encouragement, at times if I stray away, scold me if necessary, rebuke me, fine. I need it. I'm very appreciated if you do that. And finally, to the best of ability, whenever your health permits, assemble together. Don't let your failure to assemble become a pattern, a manner. And exhort one another whenever you come together. Talk about things to encourage. Talk about things that will build up the faith. Talk about things that will keep me and help me to hold fast. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Your patience and Your long-suffering in dealing with us. For we know that so many times we allow the attractions of the world to steer us away from Christ, even though we may have professed our faith time and time again. And You have so patiently dealt with us and allow us to remain on this earth to continue to be a blessing to one another. I pray, O Lord, for the young people in this church whom You have brought together. Help them, O Lord, to continue to hold fast the profession of the faith that they have proclaimed, and that You will help them not to waver, for the world will truly try its utmost to steer them away from a path of holiness and righteousness. May they be strong in the Lord. May they never go about it alone, but to have brothers and sisters in Christ who will always remember them by holding them in their mind, to provoke them unto love and to good works, so that they will continue to hold fast the profession of their faith in love and in service. But help them also to never forsake the assembling of themselves together, and let it never become a habit. And to those who have done so, may Thou be gracious and merciful to use these young people to poke them, to provoke them, that they may one day return to the fold and walk the straight and narrow path once more. For we know that very soon the Lord will return and we can serve Thee no more. Bless and protect these young people and cause them truly to hold fast to the profession of the faith that You have given to them. And not only their own, but also one another's. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.